This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis chapters 43 to 45, picking up with According to Birthright, Evil for Good, God Has Found Out Our Guilt, Judah Offers to Trade, and Joseph Reveals Himself. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
power.
A reading from Zephaniah, chapter 3. Single out, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. My dear seminarians and future brother pastors, preparing for the holy task of shepherding the Lord's flock, Zephaniah's call that we just heard rings out across the centuries. It rings out through judgment and devastation, through exile and return, through cross and resurrection, and lands squarely in our ears this morning. We hear shout, sing aloud, rejoice, exalt. The commands of Zephaniah chapter 3 are nothing less than outrageous when you think about it, when you consider it in their context. The prophet had just delivered one of the fiercest judgments in the entire Old Testament, in my opinion. Before rejoicing, he proclaimed the coming devastation of Jerusalem. God's very people, torn apart by their own idolatry, their land is ravaged, their wealth plundered, their temple absolutely destroyed, their pride, it's crushed. Zephaniah had said bluntly that everything they knew and everything they loved would be completely overturned because they had turned from the Lord. And yet, into that bleak and ruined landscape, into that future that's filled with ashes and exile, the Lord sends this command. Sing, shout, rejoice, and exult. But why? Why? Because judgment does not get the last word. Because death does not get the last word. Darkness and destruction, apostasy, persecution, cultural collapse, the rising insanity of a world that calls evil good and good evil, none of that, none of it gets the last word. The last word belongs to the King who is in our midst. Our text says, the Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. And notice the tense. He has taken away. He has cleared away. This past tense, this is already accomplished. This is already true before the people feel it, long before they even see it. Zephaniah gives the church a promise that reaches its fullness in Christ, the one who took our judgments, who came and bore our sin, who came and had his coming in order to swallow death, and who rose in triumph, clearing away every enemy that accuses you and I. And at the cross, Jesus, Christ himself, disarmed the powers of hell. At his resurrection, he declared victory over every enemy of God and over every enemy of his church. And at his ascension, he was enthroned over heaven and on earth, and there reigns. And at Pentecost, he poured out his Holy Spirit into his people so that they might sing, yes, sing with joy in the face of a world that despises their confession. And so this is why the church sings. This is why Zephaniah commands joy. This is why you, dear future pastors, must learn to preach, and not only preach, but to sing with confidence and with gladness. Because the reality is, for some, your ministry will not be easy. And you already know this. But I think it's important that you need to hear it said plainly and pastorally, that you will face enemies, that you will be called to preach Christ crucified into a world that rejoices in abortion. Yes, rejoices, celebrates, laughs, and even fights for the shedding of innocent blood. You will preach God's design of male and female, marriage and family, into a world that scoffs at the created order, that mocks chastity, that despises fatherhood, who tries to erase even the definition of man and woman. You're going to preach repentance into a world that has not only forgotten what sin is, but has forgotten what mercy is as well. You'll preach the resurrection of the body into a world that's not only obsessed with death, but turn on the TV, is entertained by death. And sometimes, for some, even the congregations that call may not entirely want the scriptures confessed in their fullness. Perhaps they've absorbed the world's theology. Perhaps they're weary and drifting. They're confused or have been misled by false teachers. Perhaps you'll inherit the conflicted or wounded flock of a previous pastor. And while all this may be the case, I certainly guarantee you, you're going to feel like you're in Zephaniah's world. A people stuck in rebellion, a cultural spiraling down world, a world where devotion to the Lord comes at cost and heavy pain. But the Lord says, rejoice. He says, sing. He says, shout. Because the victory is not uncertain. Because the battle is not undecided, your enemies, Christ's enemies, are already defeated and are already judged. You see, the Lord has cleared them away. Verse 15 continues, the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall never again fear evil. And why? Why do we not fear? Well, because the text plainly says, because of who stands among us. The prophet Zephaniah, he saw dimly what you see clearly. God himself in the flesh, the crucified and risen Jesus, shepherding his church. And he not only stands in the midst of his people, he places himself into your hands, brother pastors. He'll place himself into your hands, future brother pastors, through the ministry that he will give you. And think about that for a moment. Think of that reality. You will preach him into human ears. You will place his absolution into trembling, terrified consciences. You will feed his sheep and distribute his body and blood into repentant, starving sinners. You will baptize in his name, and you will stand at gravesides and proclaim his victory over death. And you will do all of this because he is in your midst. And this is why you need not fear the enemies that you face. This is why we need not fear the cultural enemies who despise the gospel, not the ideological enemies who distort the faith, not the spiritual enemies who assail you in the night, and certainly not those internal enemies of your own weakness, anxiety, and doubt. For the King of Israel, the prophet says, Jesus the Christ is in your midst. And so the text continues with what I think it may be one of the most astonishing verses in the Old Testament. The prophet says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Not only does he command you to sing, but notice, he sings over you. The creator of the universe rejoices over his redeemed. The lamb who was slain sings with joy over his blood-bought church. The Lord of the resurrection extols over you with loud singing. And what beautiful gospel this is. When you feel beaten down in your ministry, when opposition grows fierce, when members whom you love and trust lash out, when cultural hostility mounts, when you feel like you are the only one left who cares about doctrine and faithfulness, remember this and hear these words. Christ rejoices over you. Christ exalts over you, and Christ quiets your trembling heart with love. We have a perfect example of all of this. Today, the church commemorates St. John of Damascus. Well, John of Damascus, excuse me. A faithful teacher who lived under Islamic rule in the 8th century. John suffered slander. He faced persecution from the caliph and defended the church's confession with powerful forces who oppressed him. And yet, what do we remember John of Damascus for? For his joy, for his hymns, for his proclamation of Christ's victory. John of Damascus wrote some of the greatest Easter hymns that the church possesses, including two in our own hymnal, Come You Faithful, Raise the Strain, and the Day of Resurrection. And in the shadow of the sword, amid a hostile regime, he sang of resurrection joy. He sang of Christ's triumph over enemies. He sang of Christ's final deliverance. And he did not sing because his circumstances were pleasant. No, they were far from it. He sang because Christ is victorious. He sang because the Lord had taken away the judgments against him. He sang because the King was in his midst. He sang because the Lord rejoiced over him. And so will you. Some of you will soon receive that long-awaited call. And like I said, some, because of the effects of sin on this world and the church, might find yourselves in difficult places. Perhaps where theology has gone off the rails, division runs deep, and doctrinal confusion abounds. And it's true, you may feel alone, discouraged. You may feel like Zephaniah's Jerusalem, surrounded by sin, rebellion, and ruin. Or you may feel like John of Damascus, misunderstood, slandered, pressured to compromise. But I tell you this not to frighten you, but to hopefully prepare you and to proclaim to you the word of God that sustains his pastors. Sing aloud, shout, rejoice, exalt with all your heart. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The King of Israel is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. And so, young future pastors, sing. Sing the church's song. Sing the word of Christ into the darkness. Sing the gospel that disarms hell. Sing the hymns that John of Damascus wrote. Sing the liturgy that has endured for centuries. And sing the victory of Christ crucified and risen for you. Not because ministry is easy, but because the victory is already won and is yours. Zephaniah's people were certainly heading into devastation, and our times are likewise filled with corruption, confusion, and open rebellion against God The world exalts in evil things like abortion and overturning the created order. It certainly mocks the church's confession, and scripture tells us plainly that darker days are coming. But darker days only make the light more visible. When the world descends into chaos, it's then that the church's song becomes clearer and louder, sharper, more defiant in its joy. Because we know where history ends. The Lord gathers his people. The lame and the outcast become his treasured possession. He deals with all our oppressors. He restores our fortunes and brings us home. Zephaniah's final word is not judgment. It's not exile. It's certainly not fear. Nor is it despair. His final word is joy. The joy of the redeemed standing in the presence of their victorious King forever. And your ministry, dear brothers, is a ministry that hands this joy to God's people. So hear the prophet's command as a word spoken directly into your future calling, into your vocation, and your future pastoral life. Sing aloud, shout, exalt, rejoice, because he has taken away the judgments against you and has cleared away your enemies. This is the promise that sustained Zephaniah. This is the joy that sustained John of Damascus. And this is the gospel that will sustain you, no matter where the Lord sends you. And this is the song that the whole church will sing forever, when Christ returns and reveals the fullness of his triumph. And so until that day, we rejoice. Until that day, we sing. Until that day, we proclaim his victory in a world that desperately needs it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, in my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with a willing spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God,
bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, through your servant John of Damascus, you proclaimed with power the mysteries of the true faith. Confirm our faith, so that we may confess Jesus to be true God and true man, singing the praises of the risen Lord, and so that by the power of the resurrection, we may also attain the joys of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept his night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my dreams in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.